This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, higher than Mount Everest. That's what it is. It's Tresor, and aka CliffCentral.com. I hope you're having a good start to your Tuesday. It's the 22nd of January. First of all, I don't know if you've been paying attention to the news, and maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but this is something that affects everybody, even if you don't care about the news. Apparently, WhatsApp are going to limit users to forwarding a message only 5 times in an attempt to cut down on the spread of misinformation. I mean, these two things are not even related, but it just shows you how hopeless all of these tech companies are at controlling the monster that they've created.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever done this, but if you get something funny, you can forward it to 20 people on WhatsApp. And then if you go 21, it says to you, no, sorry, the limit's 20. You can only send it to
20. Oh, I haven't tried that. I haven't seen that before.
Yeah, so if I get a funny clip, for example, or something that I think is amusing, then I try to forward it to a few people, and I'll reach a limit at 20. It won't let me send more than that. So now they want to limit that to 5.
Ooh.
Mm. Fake stories, they say, and deceitful groups on Facebook have been the focus of a U.S. misinformation and obviously around the election. There's lots of sensitivity around that too. WhatsApp has become a problem as well. In Brazil, it became a really big issue ahead of the country's presidential elections, which took place in October, as bad voting information, conspiracy theories, and false stories about candidates were spread across the network. So WhatsApp say they're going to cut this down to 5, and they're testing it out in India at the moment.
Sure.
Before that, you could actually forward something to 256 people. Like you could have up to 256 people in a group. So I wonder if this means that our groups are going to be cut down to 5.
Yeah, that would be drastic.
That would be terrible. Then I would have to use a different app.
We wouldn't have our daily entertainment all day.
All right, I'm going to try this. Let me see if I can connect to a phone call. This is very exciting because we've got our phones. Finally, we've got that figured out. So let's see. We got Adam. Hey, Adam, what's up?
How's it, Gareth? How are you?
Yeah, good, man. What's going on? Listen to this. You're on the air. It's fantastic. I pressed one button.
Classic. Yeah, no, I'm phoning from Dubai. I just watched that video last night with you and Ronaldo host.
Oh yeah, I was on this.
Yeah, listen, bro, I was.
Yeah, let me just explain to everybody else because you and I know what we're talking about, but nobody else does. So Ronaldo host is this dude who does. He's got this YouTube channel and he does his own podcast and he's got a pretty big audience in South Africa. And he invited me on and I kept saying no, and eventually I said yes. So I was on Sunday. And we talked about all kinds of things. Did you like it?
Yeah, I thought it was very good. I think, I mean, initially when this guy first came out, I wasn't sure about him. And I think he was very measured in the way that he did the interview, you know, and he was quite open to criticism. And, well, not criticism, but just taking feedback. But what impressed me most of this interview, Gareth, was your Afrikaans, mate.
All right.
And your Afrikaans and ancestry and the story with the fruit tracker millionaire. That was quite interesting.
Well,
I'm actually in the process of you know, doing the same kind of research, trying to track my family back in, you know.
Mm. I'm always amazed, so, though. Like, it's the weirdest thing. Whenever I talk to, and my mother's family, my mother's father's family in particular, are Afrikaans. I'm very proud of that. But whenever I speak a little Afrikaans, like, Afrikaans people think I'm Jesus.
No, I mean,
it's not hard.
I really like it when you speak Afrikaans.
But I think
maybe you should start like a segment in the morning of 5 minutes of Afrikaans, Garrison Afrikaans.
We all had to learn Afrikaans when we were at primary school and high school. I mean, I thought everybody could speak a little bit of Afrikaans. Speak a little bit of Zulu,
no,
too.
I think it's quite refreshing, though, to hear it.
Right. So okay, dude. No, really I'm happy that makes you happy. Does it fill your heart with joy?
Absolutely, bro. So, love you guys much.
What are you doing in Dubai?
Gareth, I manage the water park in Dubai. So I've been out here. This year I'll be out here for 20 years now. Came out here in 1999.
Water park. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's fun. I really enjoy it here. I miss home. Home's always where the heart is. But, it's good here, mate. But we've got a good South African community out here. So.
Yeah, I believe so.
And we've got you guys to listen to, so.
At the water park, are girls allowed to wear bikinis?
Yeah, I mean, true. we see all sorts in here, you know what I'm saying? So from people wearing burkinis to the tiniest Russian bikini. So, yeah, all sorts.
Burkinis.
Yeah, Dubai, I mean, it's opened up so much. It's a completely different city 20 years ago. So,
yeah, so
I mean, all you need to go is just go see these influencers that go into the desert with their tiny bikinis and do photo shoots. You know,
that's great. Radical. I like that. Yeah. That's good. Good for Dubai that they're opening up.
Yeah,
any place that has any place that allows women to wear whatever they want is a place I'd like.
Yeah, listen, I mean, like I said, also the leadership in this country is quite refreshing. The new Sheikh Hamdan, he's starting to take over the reins from his father, Sheikh Mohammed, and he's very progressive. And you just need to follow his Instagram account just to see what he does. You know, it's really cool. So that's a great city to be in at the moment.
What's he on Instagram?
His name is Faza, so Sheikh Hamdan.
Sheikh Hamdan.
Just Sheikh Hamdan, yeah, Hamdan.
H-A-M-D-A-N?
You'll find him. Yeah, let me have a look. Hamdan.
Huh.
Hamdan Maktoum.
Hamdan Maktoum. All right, I'm going to look for him now, see if I can follow him. So what does he post, like chicks and bikinis?
No.
Oh.
He doesn't do that. No, but he's cool. He's got a really good, and he's got loads of guys who follow him, like Yang Dad with Will Smith. These guys don't sound often.
Hmm.
Lionel Messi and all those things. So, yeah, very interesting. It's an interesting city. The summers are crack. Really hot.
All right. Well, listen, you run the water park, so in the summers you just have to be in the water.
Yeah, that's what we try and do.
All right, Adam. Thanks, man.
If you ever decide to stay, give us a shout.
All right. Thanks.
All right, Gareth.
Cool. Thanks, Adam. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Cheers, guys.
There we go. It's Adam from Dubai. Isn't that cool?
Hmm.
All right.
A whole lot of stuff going on there.
See, we got KF. Oh, okay. KF Malindi is going to join us just now. He is in Zimbabwe. He's going to update us on the story there. I mean, most people in Zimbabwe have to use WhatsApp to message each other about the news, and they didn't have internet for the last couple of days. So how the hell do people communicate? And now WhatsApp want to limit our forwarding to 5 people instead of 20 or 256 or whatever it is. It's crazy. They began labeling forwarded messages around that time in India, so they now have limited the number. It's prompted by a series of mob attacks and killings in India. Now, why the hell? Because a whole bunch of mobs in India can't behave themselves. Do the rest of us have to suffer?
Yeah, it's literally going to be worldwide. I mean, yeah, I understand around election time. Although, no, I don't actually even understand that.
If people can't behave themselves, then they punish those individuals. You know what their cell phone numbers are, WhatsApp. Anyone who forwards that shit, go after them. Why are you getting in the way of the rest of us sending fun stuff to all of our friends? And if you limit the size of a group, let me tell you, people will find another app. Because if you've got a group of friends, let's say there's 7 of you, which 2 are you going to cut loose? I don't know if it applies to groups or if it's just to forwarding. But either way, it's not good.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are
being restricted like that.
All right, is KF... Oh, he's on your phone? Oh, now you have to figure this one out. I love the system we've got going on over here. But then it is hard getting hold of people in Zim at the moment, so this is what we've got to do. Let me see if I can get KF Malindi on the line here. KF, of course, hosted a show here on cliffcentral.com for some time, and he joins us now. Hey, KF, can you hear me?
Loud and clear, Gareth.
Okay, I can hear you loud and clear. What's going on? Where are you in Zim at the moment? Are you in Harare?
I'm in Harare in the central business district, which has been pretty much hidden from everything that's been going on. They're not dumb enough to have deployed police and military as much in the CBD as they did in the high density areas.
But I've heard some horror stories. The internet was cut off. Did you have connection the whole time, or were you also cut off for some time?
So what happened was initially all they did was cut off social media, which was your WhatsApp, your Twitter, and your Facebook. And then we found a way around it using VPNs.
Right.
But your VPN will only function if there's still internet capacity. So we're at one point in time, for at least 36 hours, they shut down the internet completely. So not your email was working, browsers weren't working. There was literally no connectivity. You could make phone calls, but even that was interrupted and intermittent.
And I've heard that during this time, this blackout, let's call it a blackout for 36 hours, that soldiers were deployed and people were beaten up and tortured and they were trying to find people who were causing trouble. Is all of that true or is there some hysteria going on here?
Well, there's no hysteria to it whatsoever, Gareth. Definitely in the high density areas, there was a lot of deployment of military and police forces. What they're saying, their explanation of it now, after the internet has come back, is that they had uniforms that were stolen from their barracks.
So they say,
which is nonsensical.
Yeah, they're saying it's criminals who broke in, stole uniforms, and pretended to be soldiers because now they've been caught with their pants down.
Precisely, and you're thinking to yourself, this is the same government that had the military intervention that was able to remove a 37-year-old sitting president. Now had uniforms stolen from their barracks. They calculated everything perfectly last November and were able to shut down the police. And now, what? All of a sudden, criminals just walked into barracks and stole uniforms. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
So what's going on? Because we know that the fuel prices were suddenly hiked up and there's no cash in the economy at all at the moment. The government, the government's basically run out of money. So Emerson just came back. He cut short his, I don't know if it's a holiday or supposedly a business trip to Europe. Who can ever tell? So what's going on? I mean, who are they targeting? Ordinary members of the public who are pissed off? Who are they going after?
So, Gareth, can you still hear me, Gareth?
Sure.
Am I still loud and clear?
Yep.
Reconnecting.
No, I can hear you. KF, we can hear you. No, I see. Emerson got to him. Son of a bitch. Maybe we can get him back. I don't know. Let me try again. Let's see. This is very exciting. Hey, KF?
I'm back, KF.
Yeah. So who are they going after? Who are the military targeting here? Who are the enemies?
Okay, so first and foremost, as you had asked before, did this really happen? Yes, it did happen, more so in the high-density areas. I think we have about 7 confirmed deaths. We have about 63 confirmed gunshot wounds,
yeah.
200 people who have been treated for torture, and this is coming from the Zimbabwe Association of Doctors for Human Rights. Recently, a 22-year-old was shot in the head, and his mother and family buried him, I think, a day or two ago.
Oh, my God.
So they have been dead. There's no doubt about it. And even within the CBD, during the complete blackout, flatmates, I had friends who lived in the same apartment block as I did, and they had canisters of tear gas thrown into the premises of the apartment. This is within the CBD, let's say 300 or 400 meters away from State House.
Good heavens. Who are they targeting?
So
who are they going after in particular? I mean, it sounds like it's just random members of the public.
It's random members of the public because in their eyes, they're saying, okay, these guys have grown, their cojones have grown, a bit too big. So let's instill that fear a bit more. Let's remind them what sort of regime we are. And Zimbabweans have been a very fearful people. We're not the type to uprise. We're not the type to go on the streets. We're not the type to even stay away. Because obviously, we do have a very militant background. We're known as very fearful of our military.
Yeah.
And I think it was just a reminder. And there have been rumors that, little words that have come from senior government officials saying this is just a foretaste. One very senior government member did say this is just a foretaste, as in, we can do more. So it's a way of instilling fear within the public and saying, don't ever try this again.
Is there someone...
Now, in terms of the economy...
Is there someone that the,
yes, guys,
that the ordinary public can rally around? Is there a leader who's stepped up who's able to speak for the people who've been victimized by this government, the people who can't afford fuel, the people who can't get food, the people who are in dire straits at the moment? Or is there no one who's brave enough to stand up and be the lightning rod in the middle of all of this?
We've had the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions, which is that grouping is the one that asked for the stairway, as well as Pastor Ivan. I'm sure you've spoken to Pastor Ivan in the past.
Yes, we have.
Ivan Mawarire.
Yes.
But he's already been arrested. He was arrested on Monday. In terms of the opposition, Nelson Chamisa has been very quiet because the last time, you know, through social media and the deaths that were around election time, they then went on to say that his social media presence and his the way he spoke to people incited violence. So he's been very, very quiet.
Sure. And I mean,
understandably so, because at any point in time,
they just arrest someone like Evan Mawarira with no good no good reason. They don't have to have a reason. They just arrest him. Well, it seems like we lost them again.
Yes, they just arrested him, and then he's been charged with exactly what he was charged under Robert Mugabe's regime. He was charged with subduing a democratically elected government and treason.
Unbelievable. I mean, one guy.
Punishable, obviously, by death.
Wow, it's just absolutely unreal that this is happening in 2019. So you've obviously got internet back, or we wouldn't be able to talk to you this morning. What kind of
precisely?
What kind of expectations do you have for the next 24 hours?
Well, nothing has changed, guys, because now the issue is, so economically, what's happening in Zimbabwe is, and you guys, thank you very much for just denying us the $1.6 billion loan and then having to publicize it all over the news.
Haven't you seen how little money we've got? All of our government people have been stealing left, right, and center. There's nothing left in the coffers.
You know, what I'm just surprised by is that, okay, this was something that was done in the strictest of confidence. And then a whole South African government puts a whole Zimbabwean government on blast and says, no, we didn't give it to them. And we'll tell you why we didn't give it to them. But done in so much secrecy, we didn't expect that they would have to, you know, embarrass our government to that extent. But
We're already supporting and employing like 500 million Zimbabweans in South Africa. So.
True. Very true. Very true. But you see, what people don't know, Gareth, is that, okay, I'm sure you do understand the RTGS and dollar system. That the government claims that we're a US dollar economy, meaning that our $1, one US dollar is equivalent to one bond.
One Zimbabwean note. Bond note, yeah.
That is government. That is the government act. That is, it's not true on the ground.
Oh, Emerson's climbing in here. I'm going to have to can that because it's really getting very difficult to hear KF. But we were about to get into a discussion around what currency is actually being used there. It's just, it's such a mess.
It's a complete mess.
Such a mess. I would love to know deep down in my soul that someone in the South African government is paying attention to what's going on in Zimbabwe so we can see how badly things can get out of control when your government are pilfering, like you see in this state capture hearing, left, right, and center, where you've got derelict, incompetent, useless people running things like we've had in the ANC for how long? I mean, the last 10 years have just been years of incompetence. Just bald incompetence. There's no other way to put it. Take a look at what's going on in Zim, dudes. There'll be nothing left to steal if you carry on like this.
Can't live like that. I mean, not having your house in order.
I know.
That's crazy. The basis for everything.
Hey, do you speak Kazakh?
From time to time.
Just listen to this. See how you're going to love this. Take a listen to how... This is how the Kazakhstani language sounds. It sounds like... They say in the clip, it sounds like a diesel engine trying to start up at minus 40 degrees. Just listen to this. This is an actual news reporter reading the news. So it's not some person who's got a stutter. Listen to how Kazakh sounds. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Listen to this. See, you're going to love this.
Uh-oh. Күз кез көз, күш кеш көш, кір кер көр, күл кел көл, кілен қысқа сөз кім оқиды тез. Арқада алтар қар бар, қырқада қырғар қар бар, қырғар қарда ағар қар бар, алтар қарда марқар қар бар. Әбдіреде әбігер әтеш отыр, әбігер әтеш отырған әбдірені әжем ашып отыр. Гүлім, гүлім.
Isn't that great?
I mean, surely that must be like a warm-up, you know,
no,
like broadcasters do.
That's not a throat exercise. That's
Betsy
how he sounds.
Some butter.
No, really. That's how the dude sounds. Isn't that amazing?
That sounds like
right?
a language the Kardashians have trademarked. It's a kara-kara-kara on top of the nara-kara-kara.
That's beautiful. That is how it sounds, right?
Oh, man.
Except it's a lot more cumbersome and messy than that.
Kuz kez kuz, kush kez kush, kır ker kör, kül kel kül, külen kıska söz kime okuyup tez. Arkada altar kar var, kırkada kırgar kar var, kırgar karda ağar kar var, altar karda markar kar var. Әбдіреде әбігер әтеш отыр, әбігер әтеш отырған әбдірені әжем ашып отыр.
I think that's amazing.
What?
Isn't that amazing?
That is fascinating.
Shit. That's amazing.
Wow.
Kazakh language, so now you know.
Kazakh.
All right, let's talk about some of the stuff in the news. Leanne, what do you got?
We didn't talk about this shootout at Durban Beach between Cyril Ramaphosa's bodyguards and the police.
What?
Yeah, apparently.
Cyril's bodyguards and police?
Oh, just another day.
I thought they were on the same side.
It happened. Okay, so there are differing accounts of who fired the first shot. Oh. One version is that a policeman pulled out his weapon first and fired, wounding one of Cyril Ramaphosa's guys in the thigh. But the cops claim that he was only firing a warning shot because of partygoers who had got out of hand. Oh, so it happened at about 11 p.m. on Saturday at Anstey's Beach.
Wow.
A hangout and picnic spot.
What's Cyril doing there? Or was it just the bodyguards?
No, it was just the bodyguards. It was after a thing that they'd been to. It was after the ANC's 107th anniversary celebrations at Moses Mabhida. Mm-hmm. But this was huge. It was really dramatic. But it was between the three military members of the Presidential Protection Unit and revelers at a Durban beachfront party, now under investigation by the Independent Police Investigative Directorate.
Yep.
At least 52 bullet shells were retrieved from the scene.
Hmm.
That's a lot. The bulk are believed to have been fired from the R5 assault rifles of the three, who are all members of the SA Special Forces Brigade.
Mm-hmm.
A total of 5 weapons were seized after the incident, and these will now undergo ballistic tests.
Jesus.
Oh, so yeah, there were a lot
what
of
a mess.
People were wounded.
This is our president's bodyguards. What are they, Keystone Cops?
Crazy, man.
Well, on both sides, both the president's bodyguards and also police, and why you're even
we
fighting
really,
and how
we,
it all starts.
I mean, we really are a banana republic. Like, we're such a joke. I can't imagine that any government in the world, all these ministers are going to Davos now. You imagine they pitch up there and they think that they're going to be taken seriously because they're wearing suits. And then people overseas, do you think they don't know these stories? Here's our president. He's supposed to be the most in-control guy in South Africa. He's got his bodyguards like running around shooting at each other. It's ridiculous.
The stories are so confusing that no arrests have been made because of all of the varying accounts of what went on.
My God.
I mean, one of the accounts says that it was a group celebrating a 50th birthday.
Oh, really?
And one person in the group was struggling to unlock their car door.
Oh, jeez.
That person asked the soldiers for help.
This is like drunk stuff outside a club when you're 25.
Yeah.
A 50-year-old's birthday party and the president's bodyguards are hanging around shooting at people. It's ridiculous. This is the kind of story you'd hear. Yeah, you'd see on a B-grade Nigerian movie. Honestly.
Oh, my God. What the?
Exactly.
Was it Davos last year where Gigaba did that interview with CNN? Where what a great.
Now they must think we're so
great
smart.
Standard.
Yeah, imagine all these international business leaders that the ENCA gets all frothy at the chops for, all going to Switzerland and they're staying in Davos and they're talking about highbrow things like the world economy and interest rates and international trade. And then our president pulls in with his Keystone Cop bodyguards, like a bunch of ill-fitting suits and The gun goes off by mistake. Just douchebags, right? It's just so embarrassing. And then you got all these ministers that are like ambling around trying to look important, but the whole delegation from every other part of the world is going, yeah, those are the morons of the state capture.
Do you think they whisper about
definitely. Behind that. Cyril's back, they're like, this is the guy supposedly in charge of that banana republic.
Oh, no.
To actually think
don't,
about
don't
it.
Don't do deals. Just promise them everything. They're so stupid, they'll believe it. In fact, if you give the guy 50 grand a month with like Bosasa did, you could have his... You could have his house for the weekend. you want to go and live in the president's office? Just give him 50 grand a month. Like Nomvula Mokonyane, you could be a minister.
Do you think much like a school playground, it's all about where presidents sit and who are the cool kids in the world?
There's no,
our delegates
are a joke. I'm telling you, no one's taking South Africa seriously at this thing. Just stop it. Listen to the stories in the news. You really think that they're sitting there going, oh, we can't wait for President Cyril Ramaphosa's address. This is going to be the most important thing at Davos. I'll bet you half of them leave the room. You know how people get up in a bad movie and walk out?
Mm.
That's what happens when we start talking. I'm telling you now, it's ridiculous. All right, what else you got?
That woman is still on about the Prince Philip car crash.
What, that woman who he crashed into, that poor woman?
Damn right, she should.
She's now gone on to British telly and with her blue cast on her arm.
Yeah.
Looking sorry for herself. But I don't know. I'm definitely split because Prince Philip, we must remember, was photographed in his new Land Rover driving again without his seatbelt on.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
He doesn't care. He's just you know what? He is a selfish old man. He doesn't care either. I'll bet you he's going to go around to her house with a shotgun and pull a Cyril Ramaphosa bodyguard move. Why are you complaining about me all the time? Just be quiet, woman, for heaven's sake.
Well, that's apparently what the police have been telling her, yeah, in the Fairweather. To,
oh,
just
really?
Shut up.
They're saying shut up.
Yeah. And she's saying, you know, there's this, it's a royal cover-up. She's received a letter from the palace, just basically saying, "The Queen hears you," or something, or "The Queen remembers you." It didn't even make sense.
I need more than a letter.
The Queen? What? Who said that?
Yeah, it was a letter from the palace.
Yeah.
And was just, what, her acknowledging that
this
happened?
There we go. It was one of Queen Elizabeth's ladies-in-waiting left her a voicemail message.
Not even the Queen herself.
To say what?
The Queen wished her well.
Oh, okay.
No.
You want to know how it went? I've actually got a recording.
Hello, this is Featherbottom.
Yes, it is.
Are you the one who was involved in an accident with His Royal Highness the Duke of Edinburgh?
Oh, yes.
How are your adenoids?
Adenoids.
Are you all right?
No, I've got a broken wrist, and he hasn't apologized.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm calling on behalf of the Queen.
Yes.
This isn't the Queen. This is a lady in waiting. The Queen is too busy to talk to you right now, but I'm a lady in waiting, and I just wanted to say, we're very sorry to hear about your adenoids and your wrist. Are you there?
I'm in shock.
His Royal Highness the Duke of Edinburgh is very sorry. He's sorry he couldn't come to the first...
Tell her to fuck off!
I'm sorry. That was someone else in the back. Not His Royal Highness the Duke of Edinburgh. He would never say that.
Bloody peasants!
He says he hopes... That wasn't him, but he said to me earlier that he hopes you're feeling much better.
And in the meantime, he hasn't. He hasn't said a thing.
I'm coming over with my shotgun in 25 minutes and I'll blow the bloody woman's brains out.
Oh, gosh. But now she's...
It's only a wrist. She has another.
Anyway, have a nice day.
Goodness me.
Bye-bye.
The cheek of it.
See, this is where...
We'll send you some flowers and cookies from Prince Charles. Shortbread cookies from Prince Charles.
Well, I mean, that's what the British public is saying, because she's obviously not the most loved person at the moment when it comes to royals and royalists. But people are saying, what do you actually want? Do you want flowers and cookies?
A new wrist.
Yeah, that's what she'd like.
I'll give you a fist.
So he really doesn't care.
Prince Philip doesn't care.
But can you see?
She'll be lucky if she doesn't get drowned at the bottom of some lake in Sandringham. You'll never see her again. And have you seen the pictures of her? She's cross.
Yeah, she's pretty poor grumpy. Yeah.
Mm. Well, wouldn't you be if some royal driven into you?
And also the police haven't even come to her for a statement.
Stupid woman!
The woman who was driving this woman didn't have insurance.
Oh.
So
she was a passenger?
Yes. So she's in the middle of this whole thing. She hasn't even had a proper medical checkup. They just bound up her wrist and put it in plaster.
They're hoping she'll die from her injuries.
Mm-hmm.
It's hilarious. All right, good.
Can you take the royals to court? Can you sue them? You
can't take the queen to court. She is the court. You can't sue the... The queen is incapable of a crime. That's according
to... Isn't it about the king or the queen's peace at all times?
Yeah, well, she is the law.
I am the law!
like RoboCop.
Okay, so you can't take the queen, but that doesn't take Philip out of
the equation. Philip's still... He's a human being. The queen has got special powers, but he's not. He's a human being. And, look, he's 97. And they'll make a deal. You watch. This woman will be shut up. They'll send her some money, or they'll send over some heavies or something.
Or she'll drive under a bridge and then...
Yeah, suddenly. That's right. They'll suddenly put her into a car with Dodi Al-Fayed, and you'll never hear from her again.
Just saying.
That's right. Then Elton John will sing at her funeral. Watch. Wait and see. It's all going to happen.
Better, I got it right the second time. No, she can't wake up again. Marvelous.
Prince Philip. All right, well, there we go. Let's leave that alone. What else is going on?
A little summary of airline news going on around the world.
Airline news. How exciting, Leanne. What do we have in airline news today?
A Turkish Airlines crew was attacked by a band of armed robbers in Johannesburg.
Oh, no.
While returning from dinner. Yes. They were in a shared van. They were on their way back from a dinner in central Joburg to their hotel. Mm-hmm. And assailants pulled in front of the van, forcing it to stop at an intersection. Armed men burst out from the vehicle and forced their way onto the van. Valuables, including jewelry, wallets, cell phones, were taken under threat of death. The chief pilot was battered during the incident, and it's not clear if he attempted to resist the assailants. Apparently, the Turkish ambassador to South Africa is fuming about this.
Well, you see, we're just a gangster state at the moment, because there's no one's being prosecuted. We watch TV and you see on the news all these people who are taking bribes from Basasa, and none of them are going to jail. None of them have had charges laid against them. I mean, what is the NPA doing? They're sitting on their hands. I know Shamita Batoya only just took over, but there got to be other people there who know what they're doing. Lay some goddamn charges. People need to go to jail. Otherwise, ordinary citizens go, well, if the politicians aren't going to get into trouble, then neither am I.
We have.
Yeah. So I'm just going to do what I want. I'll rob the crew of this Turkish Airlines. I'll start doing dodgy deals with people. I won't pay my taxes. And then the whole thing falls apart.
Yeah.
If it starts at the top, the fish rots from the head.
In other aeroplane news, a plane had to be diverted to Sydney after leaving the Gold Coast, and it was on its way to Singapore. An inquiry has subsequently been launched into what happened, but the article's very vague, but the photograph speaks 1,000 words. There's a very drunk passenger who's now almost naked.
Oh, wow.
Lying on the...
Is that a woman?
On the floor. No, man.
Oh.
Lying on the floor being detained by other passengers. He was apparently really drunk and disorderly, and something's up there. But talking about justice for people who are storming buses or vans or even homes, a Texas homeowner shot 5 men during a home invasion.
Hmm.
Him all by himself.
Yeah, this is why you've got to have a gun.
Oh, really?
Yes, absolutely.
So five men tried to break or did break into his house just before 1 o'clock in the morning. And this one homeowner with his one AK-47 shot all five of them. Three of them were shot dead. A wounded man fled on foot. Another three fled in a vehicle. The car crashed into a pole. It was just crazy. And the story...
sounds like Afghanistan.
The story has been told by a neighbor who was sitting on his porch rocking his baby to sleep because the baby wouldn't sleep. So he saw all of this happen and it's just run inside for cover. Absolutely crazy. Bigger in Texas, hey?
Wow, what a story. That's amazing.
20-year-old guy who's only known in the neighborhood as Flacco.
Good for him.
Jeez.
I'm telling you, got to own a gun. In fact, you should have a lot of guns. How often do you hear about a legal gun owner who gets surprised and has no way to defend himself against crooks? You don't hear those stories because, you know what, they don't happen. Usually the legal gun owner is trained. They go to the shooting range every so often. They know how their weapon works. They keep it near them. They have a plan. Someone breaks into their house, some idiot opportunist criminal. They take him out.
Imagine his surprise, though. He thought, oh, I've got the guy. And then there were still four more.
And he took them all down.
Yeah, all of them.
Well, the best story I've heard, and I even put the story up on Facebook. You know that Kenyan attack? There was like a hotel or whatever it was.
Yes.
Yeah, there was that dude who he was an SAS soldier, and he was on holiday or he was just going shopping or whatever in Nairobi. And then he got caught up in all of this. He heard gunshots. So he went to his car and he got his gear. He got into his uniform or whatever, his camo outfit, and he had a gun and he had a pistol and he had a knife and all of this shit. And he got all dressed up, went back into the mall and just started taking these guys out. He took these terrorists out one at a time because they're so, I mean, they didn't even hold a gun properly. This guy, SAS trained, he took out like six of them, shot them right in the face, took them down, and then rescued a whole lot of people too. Jeez. He was pulling hostages out. One guy.
He was like, stuff this.
One SAS soldier saved all of these people and shot like six of these terrorists in the face. I love those stories.
You know,
the
one person who died in that attack was a South African. His name is Luke Potter. In fact, I was at the hospital with my mum, and my mum's neurosurgeon said he needed to go urgently because he'd found out that this guy had died, and his wife is a friend of his.
Oof.
But, yeah, he held a South African-British citizenship.
Yep. Citizenship. That's right.
And he was in Kenya for the Gatsby Charitable Foundation.
Oh, my God. He was there for a charity thing?
Yep. He dedicated his life to charity, which is why a lot of people are up in arms about this.
I do love this story, though. I don't love that. I mean, I feel very bad for that dude.
No,
his family, obviously. But this guy
doing it, working on his own.
This guy's a hero. He's shown remarkable bravery, a source said. He saved dozens of lives. You can fully expect him to receive one of the highest gallantry awards. It won't be announced. It will be given to him secretly. His identity has remained secret. In line with the Ministry of Defense protocol, the unnamed man is said to have been in the country to support and train Kenyan special forces. When news broke of the attack at the hotel complex, wearing jeans and trainers, the man strapped on body armor, donned a balaclava, and picked up a rifle when the attack broke out on Tuesday. According to reports in The Sun, the SAS operative stormed through the doors of the hotel in the capital city of Nairobi and is believed to have shot dead members of the militant group who detonated explosive devices and shot innocent bystanders. Pictures show him escorting hostages from the hotel before going back in to confront the terrorists.
Jeez, that's really brave, considering he was working on his own and he didn't have a uniform on. I mean, if he was seen by the police, he could have been mistaken for a terrorist.
So good. I just love this dude. The attack is said to have been carried out by the Al-Kabab. You know the kebab shop?
The kebab place,
right.
Yes.
El Kebab Terror.
Yeah, they've admitted to it.
It's so stupid. These guys are obviously such amateurs, too. He just shot them in the face and he handled them all. Took out his rifle. Boom, 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 boom. Took them down. What a hero. I love this guy. He saved lives, storming buildings, dragging people to safety amid the carnage of the devastating attack. As he fired off the rounds at the fanatics, undoubtedly killing a number of them, truly a hero emerged from this tragedy. But as the former member of the Parachute Regiment, South African Special Forces and 22nd Special Air Service Regiment, I was not surprised by his behavior, for he has been trained mentally and physically to deal with ruthless efficiency. The Ministry of Defense told Lad Bible that they could not comment on whether or not a member of the British Special Forces was in fact involved in the rescue mission. So they're not even talking about who he is. But this guy was seen, there are pictures of him on social media.
He can retire now. He deserves it.
What a winner. I love this
Put
dude.
Your feet up.
I want to marry him. Such a hero. God damn it. I love that there are still people like that that can do stuff like that. Good for him. And this Texas homeowner who shot five guys during his home invasion. You know what? This is where these petty criminals and these terrorists, you got to watch out, because one guy in both these stories took out all of you, you douchebags. One guy. You're so amateurish and sloppy. These people are trained. They know what to do with a weapon.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Can I tell you how excited I am about these stories?
I get it. I promise.
All right, so we've got some other stuff that we've got to get to, but I want to bring in Warren. He sent me an email the other day. Warren writes code for a living. He has two apps already called Playbook Hub and Asset Pool. We'll find out what those are. He's self-taught. Last year, he more than doubled his turnover despite South Africa's decline. He runs Billo, which is a small web design and development company here in Johannesburg. Everyone that works at Billo is self-taught or taught by him. He has an app that's going to be on display at South by Southwest. I've been to this show, two, three times already in Austin, Texas. Warren, first of all, congrats on being invited to South by Southwest, dude. Very nice.
Well, not me exactly going to South by West.
So
South
what's happening?
The client's going through.
The client's going through. But this is an app you developed?
Yes, yes. Been working on it since about 2013. It's
been... So first of all, look, I'm glad you emailed me.
Yeah, I've always wanted to. You know how many times I've opened a mail to you and then deleted it?
Eventually you plucked up the courage, you did it.
Pulled the trigger. Yeah, probably at the wrong time. Busiest time of my life.
Are you crazy busy at the moment?
Like, you cannot believe.
Well, that's very good. Yeah. Sit forward. You've got to talk into the microphone.
So I've just had a little baby, 3-month-old girl.
Oh, that also keeps you busy.
Oh, yeah.
So, first of all, let's just talk about your business. I don't care about your baby right now. We'll talk about that in a second. So you've developed these two apps. Tell me what Playbook Hub is.
Cool. So, I mean, these are just the two apps I'm talking to.
Yeah,
we do a lot of stuff. But
I want to hear about the others.
Do you still MC?
No.
Okay. So let's pretend you still MC.
All right.
You sign up on Playbook Hub. Someone wants to book you for that. They do the entire booking, payments, communication, everything through the platform.
Wow. So you could book talent and
anything. You want to book attached
logistics?
No. Creative industry.
Creative people.
Yeah. Purely for creatives. Okay.
You have to be registered on the app.
Yeah,
in order
it's free to sign up. Oh. Anyone can sign up. Corporates can sign up. So, you know, you're booking your year in function, let's say.
Okay. So could I get Beyonce on here?
Hopefully soon. Yeah. We'll see what happens at South by Southwest.
All right. So this is a way for creative people to do freelance work and for people to have all of that handled by the app.
And then Playbook pays you.
Oh, right.
They'll go after the person that booked you for the rest of the cash.
Okay.
Yes. They're looking after the artist.
So you get paid.
Every step of the way. Yeah.
Because a lot of people in this country, when they do these things, they don't get paid by the clients.
Exactly. I mean, I used to play in bands. I know what it's like.
Oh. What did you play?
Lead guitar.
Nice. Mm. You any good?
I was.
Well, what happened? You just...
Work.
You got out of practice.
Work, man.
All right. And Asset Pool, what's that?
Okay. So Asset Pool's like an asset management system.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's been done, but... I think the way we're doing it, the way we're asking the questions of how to manage these things is very different. And, you know, we've sat down with some big companies and everyone is interested right now. We've got a lot of stuff rolling out demo-wise for clients. And we've got a first mine, a real first client to mine.
Very good.
Yeah.
Are these apps both going to be unveiled to the American public at South by Southwest? Because it's a great place to do these launches. I mean, I don't know how long they've been going over here. Maybe they've already heard of them in parts of the U.S., but South by Southwest is where Twitter launched.
Yeah. So it's already running in Canada.
WhatsApp launched there, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, big.
So interesting thing about the stand is they're going to actually going to have something hanging from the roof. And according to the South by Southwest guys, that's like, they hate that. No one gets signage hanging from the roof.
Oh, signage know? Or a
yeah,
person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Signage hanging from the roof above their stand.
Sure.
And they're getting that kind of exposure. So
that's very nice. Are you not going?
I might.
I think you should go.
We'll see. We'll see. There's a lot in motion.
It's now. It's March.
I know.
Yeah, I know.
And I've got a lot of other app launches for March as well.
So you guys do a whole lot of apps. You just develop whatever people bring you?
Yeah, I mean, look, it wasn't always like that. I mean, I'm self-taught, like I said. So it started out just websites. You want a website? Mm-hmm. Cool. You know, and I could have left it there. But, man, I've got this burning desire for more knowledge and more knowledge.
Yeah.
And, you know, a few years later, now we're running apps in Amazon and
iOS. How did you get to a point where you could write code like this?
I think it's just hard work, and it bit me. Like, I had an interest in it. Like, you write something and it does something for you.
Hmm.
You know, and there's like a great feeling in that, you know, success, and you nibble away at it and you build something more.
So the business is going very well.
Yes, yes.
Making some decent advertising.
We're on our way there now. Right. Yeah, yeah.
You
Everyone's got 13th
now.
Checks for the last 2 years.
Oh, you know, very good. Yeah. So the baby's been born.
Yeah, yeah.
This is very exciting. Yeah. And your wife is happy to stay at home because she knows you're earning cash finally.
Well, we actually work together. We run the business together.
Oh, she's in it with you.
Yeah. So she's been off the last couple of months, of course. But
well, you know, justifiably.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So she's handling the house for us and I'm handling work.
And you originally, according to what I know about you, studied sound engineering. You worked in a studio. You did radio ads until about 2009. That kind of dried up as a business,
right? Big time,
right?
Man. Like, how far can you go, right?
Yeah.
So, studio got quiet, started stressing.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but going to look for another job just didn't come into my head.
You didn't want to work for someone else and
have
office hours and all that shit?
No.
So you just decided I'm going to start my own thing?
That's it. And I mean, really, like, that's also why I mailed you. I mean, like, we talk about this massive brain drain in this country.
Mm.
You know, like, I look at myself. All I had was an internet connection and a laptop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I could put all of this together.
Yeah.
Why can't someone else listening here right now do the same thing?
There could be brilliant people, and we've met some of them on this show. I try to highlight, you know, people like you who've started businesses out of nothing, because those are the stories people need to hear. You don't need a $1 million investment. You don't need a handout from government. You don't need anything. If you want to start a business in this era, there are all the opportunities right there.
Not even that. Like, if you want to go work for someone, if you got an interview in the code world, they're going to give you some code to write or something to fix.
Mm-hmm.
And you either can or you can't.
I can't.
Yeah, exactly. So you're not getting the job. But if you can, you're going to get the job. And it doesn't matter if you've studied or not. You can do it or you can't. I've got a friend that lives in New Zealand. He's a hacker.
Yeah.
Ethical hacker. Yeah. So
what's that? So he doesn't do illegal stuff.
No.
But he can hack.
You pay him to infiltrate you before the bad guys do.
Yeah.
Find all the little holes and back doors that you might have that you're not aware of and shut them down.
Oh.
Okay. He put his CV online when he decided he was going to go.
Yeah.
10 minutes later. 10 minutes phone call. 10 minutes. They waited a year for him to sell his goods and all that, and he's there now.
Fantastic.
Got promoted like 3-4 times, quit his job, started his own gig there.
Leanne wants to know what his phone number is. She's quite interested in having an ethical hacker for a new ex-husband.
Yeah, my next ex-husband.
Yeah, big trouble down that road.
So, what, are you talking about Leanne or him?
Both. Getting caught.
All right, well, I'm curious about how you eventually got invited to, or the client got invited to South by Southwest to talk about this. Did they just call you up, or did you submit some kind of entry?
They're doing a lot of work that side of here. There is a lot of events happening. It's quietly running there right now.
Primarily Playbook Hub.
Yes. Okay. Asset Pool's moving to Canada as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still, like, we're running, but we need more in the dev. We need more feature. We need more.
So do these guys come to you and they say, we need you to help develop an app, and then you get the whole architecture going and you start writing code and you start creating tests and you put out an alpha and then you see whether that works and people try it out. And, okay.
Yeah. It's not always just like, come to us and we do it.
Mm.
Like, we got to like the idea. We've got to like you. It's like we're getting into a relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think, oh, I want to build an app. Cool. Let's do it. But yeah. They don't see like it's going to cost you like 20 grand a month for Amazon just starting out.
Sure.
It's going to cost you thousands every month for your dev. There's always going to be bugs. Open up your app store. Every update that's sitting there right now, bug fix.
That's what it's there for.
Yeah. So you get into the app game, you got to be in it for the long run.
I'm very impressed. Well, dude, congratulations.
But really anything, like if I could say something right now, if there's any devs out there looking for work, I'm hiring.
Oh, really?
Yes, I'm hiring.
Okay, well, so there's a...
If we can help someone in this country, let's do it.
There's a something that people could use. And there probably are lots of devs who don't have work, right? Yeah,
and different level of dev I'm looking for. I'm looking for guys that can do just basic website stuff. I'm looking guys.
So you don't have to be super experienced.
No, just come to me and let's see what you can do.
Well, that's nice of you. Where can they get hold of you?
You can go to billow.co.za, billow.co.za, or warren@billow.
There we go.
Yeah.
All right. Good luck to you, man.
Rock and roll. Thanks,
all the best. It's very nice to meet you, Warren.
Yeah, you too. Yeah,
thanks for popping around.
Awesome.
Are you 33 years old?
Yeah.
Wow. Right. Okay, look at you making waves.
Rock and roll, man. Rock
and
roll.
Very impressive. All right. So this is Warren Hansen. He's a coder. He also has his own business. Go to billow.co.za to find out more. And who knows? He might even hire you.
Yeah. Let's see.
Very good.
I mean, we're looking for people. So
can we talk about that at Davos?
Yeah.
Can we talk about this type of stuff? Can we be known for this?
No, because we're going to be known for state capture and for our president's bodyguards shooting their guns.
I just wanted to say something.
Yes.
Earlier this year when you said, like, you're going to cut news to just Fridays.
Yeah.
I took that and I was like, fuck it. I'm not going to read the news at all anymore.
And?
It's been wonderful.
Dude. Isn't it great?
Yeah. This morning is the first time I got some news. I was like, oh, man, that's depressing.
Yeah, you don't need
except
it, right?
Except for the gun guy. That was awesome.
Oh, that's funny.
You don't read news at all?
I've stopped now, yeah. No news. The only thing I'll do is Reddit. Yeah, Reddit's really good. That SAS guy you're talking about, all over Reddit.
Love it. What a great story.
That's why everyone talks about it and they almost describe how they'll be incomplete without news. But you actually feel better. You're fine.
See, my stupid move was yesterday I watched TV news, which is when you get sucked in and you can't get out. I should have watched another episode of Sense8. I would have been happier. It would
be much better for you.
Telling you.
Because as well, you go out to two social circles, you're in a meeting, you are outstanding in a queue and a screen is on. You'll be informed.
Are you an Android dude or an Apple?
No.
Apple.
Even devving for it.
Very impressive, like, because a lot of people who do code, they don't like Apple.
You're talking to Windows guys, so yeah, that's why.
All right.
There is not one Microsoft machine in our office.
Huh.
Even all the servers we run, it's all Linux.
Wow.
And that's why it's always on.
All right.
Oh.
Yeah.
And just quickly, while we're talking about all this stuff, what do you think of this WhatsApp story that they're going to limit the forwarding of messages?
Man, I'm really just, I couldn't care less. So.
Really? Like, doesn't interest you?
It doesn't interest me. Like, I hate my phone.
Are you suspicious?
I try to stay away from it.
Are you suspicious of Mark Zuckerberg like all the rest of us are?
100%. That 10-year challenge, the total AI learning there.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I've spoken to some people I think are pretty smart. They say that's nonsense.
I don't know, man. They had 38 scandals last year. 38 in 1 year.
Yeah, but I mean, that's nothing compared to all the billions of people who are using Facebook. Surely, and WhatsApp's part of that whole family, right?
Oh, yeah, man. I deleted Facebook like 9 years ago or so.
If I think about it, I'm going to look at my phone now and see which apps I use the most, because this is interesting. And I think Zuckerberg owns the three apps I use the most. That son of a bitch.
Oh, I don't want to think about that.
Screen time. Let me look at the screen.
Exchangeagram.
Yeah, I'm going to show you.
Not Twitter. Facebook. And what else?
App limits. WhatsApp, I'm trying to find this thing. Okay, so here we go. Screen time. WhatsApp takes up 12 minutes. Photos, then Facebook, then Instagram. You see?
Well, Lucky doesn't own photos.
Lucky doesn't own my photos, but he probably does. If I upload them, then he does. Look at that. I've been spending 12 minutes on WhatsApp.
Gareth, I think when you work as a dev, when you get home, you don't want your phone anywhere near you.
What apps do you have on your home screen?
I don't even have my phone with me.
Okay, so you don't even know. What do you use regularly?
Probably WhatsApp, Gmail.
Yeah. Use a lot of business tools?
Nah, we write our own.
Really?
Yeah. Got our own invoicing platform.
Uh-huh.
Import our bank statements, categorize our expenses.
Nice. Right.
Yeah, proper.
And spend some time with Greg Cohen, who works here. You and he will have a long conversation.
I'm pretty bummed that Ben's not here today.
Yeah, well, don't worry.
I brought him the Supercross.
We're not bummed. Ben comes in two or three times a week. That's enough for us.
Okay, well, I brought in the Supercross, so I've got the first three rounds of the race in this year, because fucking DSTV doesn't broadcast it, so you have to download it.
Oh, do you think he cares about that?
Well, he's a sports guy.
Yeah, but he doesn't care about Supercross.
Yeah, but we need to balance out that golf a little bit.
He doesn't care. I'm so glad he's not here, because he would have spoiled your day. He would have ruined it for you. All right, dude.
Okay.
Well, Warren, it's a pleasure to meet you. Awesome. And I hope you got some coffee and Jane looked after you and everything else. You're good.
Yeah, right, rock and roll. Thanks, guys.
Always welcome. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
There we are. That is Warren Hansen. He's a businessman. He's got his own business, and you can find out if you're a dev and you want to get a job, maybe he'll hire you.
Hey.
Go to billow.co.za and maybe he's got a job for you. We're always trying to find ways for useful, productive people to be employed in South Africa. Here, this could be your big chance, right, Sia?
Hey.
Go ahead.
This is CliffCentral.com.